If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Merkel Media.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is Back It Up with Hammer Lane Legends. I am Jack Merkel, here to deliver the news for you guys. So this week we have a great episode, an early episode, taking you all the way back to July of 2020. Yes, we were in the heat of a pandemic, but that did not stop us from getting you guys the best show ever. That's Hammer Lane Legends. And this episode is episode 21, Nudist Colony Blues. What a show. I mean, honestly, this was just so freaking hilarious. We spoke with David, and I think at that point he had been in the industry for over 30 years or so, and just had seen some of the best things, some crazy things, but obviously by the title of the show, you kind of understand, yes, there was some interaction with a nudist colony. And apparently, if I'm not mistaken, I remember him saying that they were unashamed. So good for them. It was interesting. It was a great show. It was a funny show. And honestly, back in that time, I mean, who knows how this is going to sound? All I can think of is just how the show was produced and all the changes that we've done to it. But anyway, this was a great one. We had a great time. And, you know, I guess I'll just get to the show. So, yeah, you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy your Friday. Enjoy your weekend. I'll say it again for the third time. Enjoy your weekend. Anyway, I'm out.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. It went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everyone. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a wild and crazy experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. Hit the contact section and you can reach us that way as well. Either way works for us, just get a hold of us. Now, Dad, we have Dave coming on the show today. What are we going to be talking to him about?
Tonight we're talking to Dave about being a delivery driver to a nudist colony. He's got stories about finding a body in Dothan, Alabama, and being T-boned in a tanker truck.
Sounds like an interesting show.
Yes, it is.
Let's get to it right now. All right, today we got David on the show. David, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Tony. How are you and Brian doing today?
We're doing good.
We're doing real good, yep.
So, David, you got a list of, it's like a laundry list of stuff to go through. But listen, man, when I get emails, sometimes the emails are very all over the place. And
right.
I think you probably would have done that. And so you just consolidated into bullet points. And this is just fantastic. Like,
yeah, I figured that was the best way to go. I mean,
dude,
I'd be there all day typing on there, and you'd be reading a week-long email if we went through all of them.
Yeah, I mean, like, with this stuff, man, like, you did great. I mean, you gave me just three words on the topics, and it's fantastic, because some of these I'm just like, oh, I can't wait to hear this. And so I don't want to waste any time. And Dad, do you have anything to say?
Nope, not at all. Okay. I'm ready to rock and roll, because this list is amazing.
Yeah, I don't want to go any further into just delaying here. Let's get into this. And I want to start off, I'm not sure what order we're going to go in, but I want to start off with the nudist colony delivery. What is this about? and you say you have two stories here. So what's going on?
Well, I work for U.S. Foods. I worked for them as a delivery driver for a while. Now I'm a shuttle driver for them. But I was in Virginia Beach, Virginia, when I first started with them. And we had a place that we delivered to, and it would catch the new drivers off guard because it's kind of a unique name for a park anyway. It's called Whitetail Park. So, you know, the guys that have been there for a while, they kind of knew what was going on, or they knew about it, you know, and they'd see it on the list and they'd just kind of giggle. They wouldn't say much about it. My friend there that trained me, he kind of gave me the inside deal on what the place was. So I kind of knew what to expect. But I delivered there several times, but one time in particular, you pull up to the gate and they've got it's all privacy fence all the way around it, big gates there, and you got to get out and go through the intercom system, let them know, say, hey, I'm so-and-so with U.S. Foods, we're making a delivery. So they would open the gate and you start driving through, and the first thing that you see on your right is the chapel. So apparently they attend church in the nude there. So.
That's where my mind went. I'm thinking, wow, that's a church service.
Hey, let me put this out there first, guys. The nudist colony, don't get your hopes up and all the things that you can see there. It's the people that actually go there are probably not ones if you want to see in the nude. So, but anyway, you drive a little bit further, and there's all kinds of little mobile homes and campers and all kinds of things that's sitting around. People spend the whole summers there. Some people just live there permanently. When you get up to the next little kind of intersection, there's a big community building, and on the other side of that is a swimming pool, but in the community building they have They have a regular kitchen and all of that stuff. So I pull in, make my turn, and I back up to the building to make my delivery. And, you know, I'm waiting on the guy to come out. Well, the owner of the place, or the park manager, I don't know if he really owns it, but the park manager, he comes walking out of the woods in front of my truck, comes walking out of the woods with a ball cap, tennis shoes, and a chainsaw. Nothing else.
Wow.
Like, dude, you're getting a whole new meaning back there to cutting wood. And I don't even want to know where the splinters are flying.
Wow. Amen to that.
Yeah, and they just, you know, it's just a natural thing. They come over there, put chainsaw down, and we proceeded to unload groceries for the delivery. And, you know, I always kept my sunglasses on, didn't make eye contact with anybody over there. But when you leave there, you just, you know, kind of pull out towards the back towards the gate, and there's the main office there, and you go inside there to, you got to pick up a check. It was always COD, so you go in there and pick up a check, and sure enough, the elderly lady is sitting behind the counter, just as nude as can be, writing you a check so you can be on your way.
Oh, wow.
And a buddy of mine, he was, the other story that I have there, he was training someone, and they had to make a delivery there. So he pulls up to the gate, gets out of the truck, goes to the intercom, does his thing. The trainee is in the passenger seat, and my friend, he gets back in the truck, sits down in the seat, starts unbuttoning his shirt. And the trainee looks at him and says, "Man, what are you doing?" He said, "Dude, this is a nudist colony. You can't go in here with clothes." That dude jumped out of the passenger seat of that truck and then stood on the ground and said, "I'll be right here when you come out of that gate."
Wow, that's awesome. What a training day.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a good laugh about that place, man. It's, like I say, it's, yeah, it's not a place that you get your hopes up to go see.
Yeah, this is not the Playboy Mansion or anything here.
No, nowhere close.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. I mean, nothing like, you know, walking into delivery, going to get your paperwork signed, and you see two dried up raisins sitting in front of you.
Right. So, hey, you know, and then I was just, you know, looking over. They have their big parties and pool parties, and, you know, they got pictures and stuff posted on the wall in the office there. And it's like, wow.
Did they invite you did they invite you to attend the yoga class?
No.
That's not hot yoga, is it?
They were.
For them, it might be hot.
Oh, wow.
Man, I just can't imagine. You know, I did get an invite to the park. You know, that said, "Hey, anytime you guys want to come, you want to bring your wife or your girlfriend, come out here and check it out for a day or two." I'm like, "Hey, yeah, I appreciate that. So I'll keep that in mind." No.
Now, are there certain grooming restrictions there when you're on site? Do you have to be groomed a certain way?
I didn't get that far in the rule book, Tony.
They could have that company Manscaped as a advertiser to help support the colony.
Set up a booth right outside the gate.
Oh man, this episode is brought to you by Manscaped.
We got a mobile unit right there. But yeah, you are required to, you know, you got to carry around a towel with you, and I don't know why everybody seemed to carry around a white towel, but you know, hey.
Now we're getting cultish. Oh man, dude, there's so many jokes that we could play with this.
Oh my gosh,
all of a sudden we went from nudist colony to eyes wide shut.
Yeah, that's one place I wish I could use the force to get me in there and keep my eyes closed, but yeah, unfortunately, you know, driving a big truck, you got to keep your eyes open, and wow.
Man. Wow. It makes you wonder what possesses somebody to go through that kind of lifestyle change. Cause you know, at some point it was a lifestyle change for them, because nobody is, well, I mean, maybe some people are born into nudist colonies, but most people aren't. So these people at some point made a decision, you know, I think it's time for me to shed it and just rock it bare bones with a bunch of other people. I'll get to know them, you know, and we'll find out what their tastes are. Maybe I'll keep it short. Maybe I'll let it throw out. I don't know. But we're going to figure it out. Wow. I mean, seriously, like, these are questions that have to go through people's minds when they're about to go into this lifestyle change, you know, like, how do I keep it trimmed? And, you know, do I got to work out? And are there physical requirements here?
Trust me, there are no physical requirements there.
As long as your check doesn't bounce.
That's right.
Oh, man.
And some other things weren't bouncing either. So.
Wow.
Oh, man. Okay. That was fun.
Yeah,
on to the next one.
That was fun.
Let's keep it on the naked subject.
Okay.
I hear you have a naked guy on the shoulder of the road story.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Well. This was when I was working shuttles in Virginia Beach for U.S. Foods. We were running out of, they had closed our plant in Virginia Beach. So we were still based in Virginia Beach, but we were shuttling trailers down to Raleigh, North Carolina to get loaded at our warehouse and take them back to our drop yard. It was about, I don't know, right at about 3-hour drive. From Virginia Beach to Raleigh to our plant. And so there were seven or eight of us as shuttle drivers. So we were pulling doubles down and bringing them back. And the guy that pulled the joke on the trainee at the nudist colony, he was running in front of me. We were on our way back to Virginia Beach, and we were on US 58, just about halfway between Emporia and Virginia Beach. And it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. And you know how when you're running together with somebody, and if they see something on the shoulder, or, you know, like deer or whatever, they'll just kind of turn on the turn signal a little bit, just to let you know something's over there.
Right.
So we're cruising along, 1 o'clock in the morning. He flips on his signal, and you know, anytime they do that, immediately your eyes are going to go over there. You want to see what's going on or what's over there, if it's deer or whatever. He turns on his signal and goes by, and I went by, and I had to think for a minute. And I called him up real quick. I said, "Did I see what I thought I just saw?" And he was just losing it. He was busting up laughing. Sure enough, guy's just walking just as straight up as can be, just walking straight down the highway, or right on the shoulder, nude, not a lick of clothing on.
Wow.
Just a pair of shoes. So I called. I got the number for the police that were, you know, without calling 911, the non-emergency number, and I called her up and I said, "Yes, ma'am, there's a nude guy walking down the shoulder of the highway." She paused. There was a little silence. And she said, "I'm sorry, can you repeat that?" "Yes, ma'am. There's a new guy walking down US 58 right on his shoulder." You can hear the little chuckle. And she said, "Okay, we'll get somebody to check it out." Sure enough, man, he's just, like I said, just proud as can be, walking down the side of the road. Not a stitch of clothing on. So.
Unbelievable. Was he high or something, or was he just...
I have no idea. I didn't
Was he part of the nudist? Was he part of the...
"Hey, man."
was he part of the nudist colony? Was he part of the nudist colony and got lost? You know? Maybe he was looking for directions, you know? Maybe it's back, yeah, it to, back to the
he
colony.
He was a little ways out of the way for that, but it could be. I didn't think to ask the nudist colony the next time later. "Hey, you guys missing somebody? I saw trucking down the highway.
I saw your boy down the road. You might want to go find him. He's walking the opposite direction. He must have been new."
Yeah, my friend, he's like, you know, I don't know, maybe the dude was with a girl and the girl's husband came home and he's scattered out the door.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Wow. He might have had it. He might have had to escape through the upstairs balcony, you know?
Right. Like,
"Susan, my husband's home. Get out." And he jumps out the window, slides down the balcony banister, and off through the backwoods he goes.
His clothes are still hanging in the tree somewhere.
At least he grabbed his sneakers.
He should have just pulled an Adam and Eve and grabbed a leaf.
Right? Lick it and stick it.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Jeez, we're having too much fun on this one.
We definitely are.
So let's bring the bunny into the picture. Not the Playboy bunny, but the giant pink bunny. What's the story about the giant pink bunny?
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. I guess it was back in about somewhere in the mid-90s. I was... hauling fuel around the central Indiana area. I was based out of Indianapolis, and I did a lot of jet fuel running and alcohol running from Chicago down to Indy. This particular day, I was just doing regular gas station deliveries. And super early in the morning. I mean, just kind of coming around. Daybreak is just kind of getting started, and it's just a little bit before rush hour, early summer morning. And I'm on 465 around Indianapolis. And I look up and I see this giant pink thing in the sky. And I'm like, "What in the world is that?" And I get a little closer, and it's a giant pink bunny floating in the sky. Man, people are not going to believe this, and they're going to send me for a drug test. But I got a little bit closer. It was the Energizer Bunny hot air balloon. Floating across the sky, man.
Wow. That's
Don't
a way
do
to
that
up.
To me that early.
Wow, you got that right.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of people going home early in the morning after a long night telling people they saw a pink bunny floating in the sky.
Yeah. I mean, all you guys that drive at night, you see that early in the morning, you're like, "I'm seeing things. I got to be seeing things." I mean, when you're telling the story, I'm thinking to myself, was there a parade going on that when the floats got loose and, you know, put it away?
This was like, you know, and there was no event going on that I know of. You know, it was the only hot air balloon that was in the sky that I saw, but there wasn't any big events going on in India at that time. But just out of nowhere, giant pink bunny floating across the sky at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Jeez. Wow. So let's change pace here. Now, on the email, you have this bullet point list of things, and you called this one 12 foot 6 clearance in upstate New York. Talk to me about what happened here, but I can only imagine.
Well, I think this happens in several places, but, you know, they will. Anyway, I had just started driving. I hadn't been driving very long. This was back in 89. I started driving in May of 89. And I was running back and forth from Chicago to upstate New York. I think it's Oswego, New York, something like that. And I'm just cruising across a U.S. highway. And I already checked, you know, I had my antique book, the Atlas, you know, that had all the low clearances listed in the back, the trucking Atlas. Brian, I know you're familiar with those, but
yes, I am.
Nowadays, you got the GPS that has those and everything. But yeah, we had to flip through pages back then. But I'm looking at the book. Got my route planned out. I'm trucking along, and I come to this little town. I don't even know the name of the town, but I come up on an overpass, and the sign says 12-6. All 18 wheels locked up, man. I slammed on those brakes and slid about, you know, for a good distance and parked on the side. And I'm sitting there. I'm going crazy because I don't see any place to turn around. I'm flipping through pages, looking at my book. There's nothing in here. There's nothing in here. Didn't have a cell phone. Couldn't call anybody. They didn't have them then. And there was another truck that come flying by me, and he goes, "Hey, Schneider, what's the deal? What's your problem?" I said, "See that sign?" And he just buzzed right through there. So they had it marked 12-6, but it was plenty big for a big truck to go through.
You got to love it.
You know,
oh, my gosh.
And, you know, you come up to these bridges, and sometimes it'll say 14 foot, and you look at it, and you're like, that doesn't look like 14 feet. But I'm going to trust the sign. It, you know, like, you kind of get a good sense of judging what's high enough for you. And so you're probably looking at it, you're like, that doesn't look like 12-6, but I don't want to take the top off the trailer either.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, exactly. It was bad enough coming to the sudden stop that I did. I can't imagine hitting something like that and coming to a stop.
You got that right. That's coming to a stop that you didn't want to stop at. No, not that sir. Way.
You know, I always wonder what it feels like hitting a low bridge. I mean, if you're going, used to say 50 miles an hour, you're in a 13-6 trailer and you hit a 12-6 bridge. That's a foot of space that you hit. I always wonder, like, what does that feel like in the cab? Like, you see some of these videos and stuff, and sometimes you just, like a tuna fish can just peels the top right off. And then you see other things where it looks like the truck gets pulled back and airborne. I mean, imagine if you hit something hard enough and that truck itself kind of lifts up in the air a little bit because it stops suddenly. I imagine you have some neck pain after that.
Yeah, just a touch. You're going to have a face plant in the windshield.
So. You got that right. And you're filling out applications after that.
Really quick before they find out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you can pretty much kiss your driving career over. I mean, I you'll be surprised to find a dealer to even sell you a truck after that.
Right. Yeah, and I was in my first truck. It was a cab over International, and you know, I didn't even have power steering on that bad boy. And so I can't imagine doing that, hitting something like that and being in a cab over is bad enough in a conventional, but man,
heck yeah.
You know, there's some websites and, you know, social media sites and stuff that pop up that, you know, have video of trucks doing stuff like that. And I think there's one called 116bridge.com or something like that. I forget what it is, but it's, I guess there's an office building that is sitting right off the side of the road of a low bridge. And like every week they have trucks that just hit this low bridge all the time. So it got to the point where they actually set up a camera just to watch the low bridge so they could catch it all on video. And they just upload these videos to the website. And it's just like, it's crazy because it says 11-6, there's yellow everywhere because of guys doing it. They paint a yellow beam across it, and they just keep coming through there and taking the tops of their trucks off. And I can imagine it just only gets worse over time, because the more time goes on, the more we have guys that are driving, looking at their GPS and all that stuff. And so they're just not looking. They're just not looking. And they're like, oh, the GPS said I could go down the road. So I went down the road, and it's not my fault, Mr. Boss Man. It's just like,
right,
guys, read the freaking signs.
Yeah, they're marked for a reason. Yeah, it is one of those things. And I've seen those on YouTube. I've seen some of those videos where it's just, you know, guys whacking the same bridge. And the sign is right there. I mean, it is right there. And you're like, not seeing it. You're just not looking.
And you're right about the GPS. I mean, it has dumbed us down so bad. I think back on my days of driving without the GPS and things. Now, I look back at it and I wonder, how in the world did I get to places? You didn't have that turn by turn stuff. You called somebody up and said, and they're telling you, yeah, you go about down here and you'll see a big row of pine trees. And at the end of the row of pine trees, there's a little turn there.
Yes.
You know, sometimes the guy parks his silver truck there, but yesterday it wasn't there, so I don't know. So
all these years later, and I still have my little briefcase of maps at home. I still have them all.
Yes.
And I am not getting rid of them, because, you know, I know now they're all outdated. I mean, you know, they're almost 30 years old, but they saw me through a lot. There's a lot of marks on them. There's a lot of little pen marks. But, you know, you ask somebody to read a map nowadays.
Oh, yeah. You
can read a freaking map.
Well, I remember going to a paper mill down in North Carolina. And I was to pick the load up there, and then I was coming back home to Indiana, or coming through here anyway. And so I'm looking at my map in the Atlas, Trucking Atlas, got all of the truck routes highlighted in orange. Looking through there, and I'm thinking, okay, great. This is your shortcut, man. I'm going up this way. There were hairpin turns on that road that I was looking out my window and seeing the tail end of my trailer. And having to lay on the horn to get over in the lanes far enough to get around the other side, because my trailer would have drug across the side of the mountain. But it was a truck route, because they had coal trucks and everything else that run through there.
That's the stuff. Those are the days that seem like they're over. Of course, you know, like we're just saying, guys are missing 12, six bridges. So, you know, you know, you've up one for the other, right?
Man, I just don't. But yeah, we're so dumbed down by that stupid machine that we have taken our eyes off of the road. We don't pay attention to how heavy you can be going across bridges and things like that. We just don't look at it.
Yes, sir. You got that right.
Scary thought.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's definitely a scary thought. And, you know, these maps that you guys keep talking about,
these map things.
I mean, can we dig them up in the desert somewhere? I mean, they sound like antiques.
Well, one of these days, Brian and I will take you to the Smithsonian in D.C. and we'll pull some out and let you take a look at them, see what they look like.
Yeah, I look forward to that. We can go on a field trip and you can show me way back when.
You, me, and Mr. Peabody and Sherman will all take the way back machine.
Jump in our little time machine.
Yeah, buddy, I know Tony's going, I don't even get that one.
No, I mean, I'm looking at you sideways. I'm like, pee who what? I feel like I'm the young kid in a conversation with a bunch of old guys right now.
Yeah, watch your mouth there,
you
young
got
man.
That right. We can read a map. You can't.
Listen, David, you told me when you started driving truck, man. Like, you started driving truck in 1989. I was 4 years old, all right? I was four years old, man. And here I am hosting a podcast where you're telling your old man stories now. Come on, let's go. Oh, man, I'm playing.
Yeah, I did date myself a little bit. So.
Hey, it's all good, man. I'm just playing with you. We're all busting each other's balls here.
That's all right. That's 30 years of experience talking.
Yeah, man.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
I tried to get out of it a couple times. It never worked. I went right back.
Yeah, I know. I saw that in the email and stuff. You went into management and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, I've been in management. When I first got out of high school, I thought I was going to do auto body repair. I went to school for that. My brother he owned a body shop, and I kind of wanted to follow in his footsteps. And it didn't take me too long to realize that, yeah, I like this, but I'm not cut out for it. It's not me. So, you know, I did automotive parts for a while, and then had the opportunity to go to school. My grandfather drove truck on my dad's side, and my dad and three of my uncles all drove truck. And I'd always been fascinated with it from, you know, being a little kid and growing up around it. So, yeah, I knew it was in my blood. Sooner or later, it was going to come out. So here I am. But yeah, I tried to get out of it a couple times, went into management. And yeah, they can have that stuff. I get tired of changing diapers and handing out pacifiers.
Amen to that, brother.
Yeah, that wasn't worth it. I'm happy behind the wheel. I don't have to do anything but do my job and do it well, and know that my boss, at the end of the day, my boss has nothing he needs to call me in the office for and question me over. So I like it that way.
Yes, sir. You can leave all that stuff to the GPS generation. Tony's just shaking his head.
Automatic driving sissies.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. Listen, y'all, I feel like the tails have been turned. I started busting balls, and now my balls are being busted.
Oh, that'll learn you, big boy.
Yeah, you know. Let's change the topic here.
Yeah, let's change the topic. No more of this running with the big dogs. We got to change the topic.
Let's keep the conversation moving here, boys, okay? Let's keep it moving. I want to kind of conclude. I should have brought this up earlier, but I want to conclude the whole bodies topic with the body in Dothan, Alabama. Is that it? Dothan,
Alabama. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just have here Dothan, Alabama body. What does that mean? Like, did you find a body, or was it another naked person, or what?
No, actually, this was soon after I first started driving. I was driving for Schneider, and we weren't supposed to have people in the trucks, you know, no riders along. But like I said, my dad was a driver, and one day I had to make a trip from here in Indiana down to South Georgia and make a delivery and do a pickup. And we were kind of coming right back. So I just asked him if he wanted to go with me. So we took the trip, went down to Georgia, made our delivery, made a pickup, and we were coming back through Southern Alabama. And we had stopped at a truck stop in Dothan. And I was dead tired. And I knew, you know, I knew better. It wasn't the right thing to do. But my dad's like, Dave, I'll drive for you if you want for a little bit. I said, man, okay. So I let him take the wheel out of there. And it wasn't too long, just short while. He's like, he hollers back at me. He says, hey, Dave. He said, I think I may have missed a turn somewhere. So I got up there and jumped back in the driver's seat, got the truck turned around, got where we needed to be, and headed back out of town. And it's about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And just kind of really getting dozed off. And he hollers back at me again. He said, hey, Dave. He said, I don't know what's going on up here, but there's a guy waving me down up here. There's a couple cars with flashers on. So it's a 4-lane highway. But there wasn't really any shoulder. You know, it was just like white line grass. So this guy stops us and he tells my dad, he's like, hey, there's a body in the road. You know, stay in the left lane and get around it. Well, this is in 89. So again, no cell phones. We didn't have anything but the CB radios. There wasn't any way to get, and this was out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, it was dark, dark. So my dad goes past where all the cars are and everything and gets pulled over on the, you know, onto the side and put the flashers on. We jump out of the truck and we were going to get, because it's, we had just come over a little hill. So any traffic that was coming, they were coming over the hill and they were right on it. So we get the truck pulled over and jump out and grab, we didn't have triangles. We had the flares. So we take those and are headed back up the road and just up towards the top of the hill to start, you know, waving people down to get them to stop. But as we're walking back there, there's three cars there, and there is just body pieces everywhere. I mean, this dude didn't have anything complete on him, and I'm glad it was really dark, and I was just kind of trying to walk and not pay much attention, but yeah, I saw his body there with, you see most his torso and partial legs, and the head was just caved in on one side, and it was just gross. I mean, there was bone pieces, there was everything everywhere. Well, apparently the guy that flagged us down, he said that he come up over that hill and there was a guy walking on that white line. And by the time he come up over the hill, he just caught a glimpse of him and clipped him. And so he knew that he hurt him. So he went up, made a U-turn, come up the other side of the highway, across the median, come up the other side, and was running across the median to try to help this guy get off of the road. And just about the time he got to the edge of the road, two more cars came over the hill and just planted that guy and hit him with both vehicles. And so, I mean, he was just scattered from, had to be a good 50 yards, because my dad said when he jumped out of the truck, he stepped on a keychain with a wad of keys on it. So, but yeah, it was one nasty mess. And so, you know, right when we pulled the truck over, we were getting on the CB radio and hollering for everybody to try, somebody to try to get the cops and everything out there. But it was still another, you know, 15, 20 minutes before anybody got there.
Right. Wow. That is a crazy sight to come up upon. Holy cow. That's just crazy.
And what freaks me out the most about that story is that I think back on it, and I this happens quite a bit. I look back on things and I see how God protected me from getting into events. But had my dad not taken the wheel, I may not have missed that turn and been there right when that happened. I may have been one that crushed that guy.
Right. Yeah, he got that right.
So, you know, I count my blessings for that kind of stuff. And, you know, I look back on that and think, wow, you know, he protected me from being part of that. Because, like I say, I just started driving and that freaked me out for a while. And it was like driving at night. I was almost petrified for a while.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a great point, because how many times do we come across stuff as drivers that is fresh? And like, I think about that. I think about that a lot. Like, I was so pissed off in my last stop because they jerked me around. And I wound up getting out of there 20 minutes later than I should have been. And then I come across something down the road that I'm like, wow, if I wasn't delayed, maybe I would have been involved in that. You know, and how many times has that happened to us? Is that like truck driver superstitious stuff, or is that something that you think a lot of people feel like? Do they read into the read between the lines kind of thing? They're like, man, I'm glad I was delayed or whatever, you know?
Yeah, some guys, I don't know if they really pay attention to it, but man, I'm just very thankful I am where I am, and I can look back and see those kind of blessings. And you know, I really do feel like God has protected me from several instances like that. So.
Yeah. And when you were first telling the story, at first I was thinking tractor trailer hit somebody, because, you know, you hit a deer with a truck and it sprays everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It just explodes. Yeah. And so I was, when you first were describing the scene, I was like, holy crap, one of the trailers clipped somebody or hit somebody. Because the way you described it, it just sounded like the person blew up.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what it looked like, too. So, you know, those two vehicles hit him and hit him hard. But, you know, they're doing highway speeds. And, but, yeah, it was, that was a mess.
Yeah, you know, honestly, it's bad to say. But it probably would have been better if he was hit by a trailer. Just because, I mean, the guy was hit by a car. And if he was still alive, I mean, do you know if he was still alive when he was ran over by the other two cars? I mean, that's pretty torturous.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty confident from what the first guy that hit him said, you know, he just kind of clipped his leg. So he knew that he hit him and knocked him down. So I'm sure that dude was just wide awake and alive when those other cars came over that hill.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, it almost would have been better if you didn't see it coming and a trailer or something, just that was it. You didn't have to, because the other way.
Yeah, one shot deal.
Yeah. I mean, the other way, it's like, man, I can't imagine what was going through his mind those last seconds of his life, you know?
Yeah, not like, at all.
Man, that sucks.
Well, you know what? Let that stand as a PSA. Don't walk on the white line on the road. If you're walking along the road, stay off the road, stay off to the side, because there's cars coming by. And if you're walking at night, I don't care what anybody thinks. Cars can't, you know, big trucks, cars, nobody can see you in the dark. That's just the way it is. And so let that stand for a PSA for us all. Hey, let's be a little more, you know, be careful out there if you're walking. You know, that's what I want to say.
You know, no, for us as trucks, even if we swerve and miss him with the cab, that trailer may not make that swing just yet. And could still take him out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, when you're driving and I mean, everybody, I don't care if you're a driver, trailer driver or a car driver, it doesn't matter. When you're driving down the road, everybody's had that situation where you're driving and there's somebody walking down the road in all black. And it's like, they just think that you're going to see them because the headlights hit you. But you know, here's something for you. Not everybody's headlights are aligned the same. Some people's headlights need adjusting and they shoot a little low on the ground and all of a sudden you pop up and bang, you know? So like, you gotta just listen. I understand we got to share the road, right? But get your butt off to the side of the road. All right. Don't be walking on the white line. Do everybody a favor, because you don't want to die. We don't want to kill anybody. Just, if you're going to be walking on the road, get off to the side. If you see a vehicle coming, get off to the side a little more. Stop walking. Make sure that your head's up. You're looking. Don't have your headphones on. It's a dangerous thing. I mean, like I've described it on the show before. We're trailer drivers. So it's like we're driving a nuke down the freeway with a bunch of little missiles flying around us. And then we have to put a person that is just walking in the middle of that traffic. I mean, it's an accident waiting to happen. And so if you find yourself having to walk down the road because you broke down or whatever, just make sure that you're being more visible. And if you can't, if you're in all black, just get off to the side, hide behind a freaking tree. Every time somebody comes by you, you don't want to die like that.
Yeah. And it don't cost anything. You can go to Walmart or any place and pick up a $5 vest and just to keep it in your glove box or in the, you know, trunk of your car or something. If something breaks down, at least somebody can, you know, you got something.
Yeah. That's a good idea. That's a really good idea, actually. I don't even have that in my vehicle, but that's not a bad idea. Even if it's not a reflective vest, but just like a white t-shirt or something that you could just throw on over yourself so it's more visible, especially at night. That's the worst, is at night. Like, and everybody's experienced it. I mean, you're driving down the highway and all of a sudden somebody's right there and like your heart just sinks to your stomach because you're like, oh my God, like it happens so fast. And I mean, imagine like, the person, if you're walking down the highway, imagine if you're walking down the highway, vehicle's coming towards you, everything's good to go. Even if you're off to the side a little bit, like what if you like trip over a rock that you didn't see and you fall just at the wrong time? Like it's not a safe environment. And just be careful, people. Just be careful.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think one of the things to take, you know, one of the takeaways is make yourself as visible as possible if you have to be out there. You know, It's one thing if you break down on the side road, not everybody's ready for that kind of stuff. I get that. But I like the idea of having a vest in your glove box. That's actually a really, really smart idea. Or, you know, have a flashlight, have something, have some way for people to be able to see that you're there. And, right. And if you're somebody who's walking to work every night, make sure you're visible. Make sure people can see you. Make sure you have light colors on. Make sure that you are making yourself visible. Because
yeah, this is bad enough. I mean, look how many cars the headlights get fogged over now. It's not like the old ones. You know, the old headlights, they didn't get fogged over. They weren't all that bright, really, but compared to today's headlights. But nowadays, they get so fogged over, and, you know, people don't get them cleaned off, and they can't see 10 feet in front of them. They're still running 75 miles an hour down the highway.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, my old tractor that I had, Dad, it was a 1400 series. It's 1442. Not only did it not turn very well, the steering really sucked on it. The headlights were clouded. They were all fogged over and stuff. And, you know, it's not my truck to take care of. It's the shops and stuff. But driving at night during the wintertime, it was hard to see. Like, you really didn't see real well because the headlights were bad. And I mentioned it on the show before, right around when we first started the show, how last year a friend of mine had died in the truck.
Yeah.
He was the most senior guy at the terminal, and he had an old Mac, single axle, real old. And mm-hmm. his headlights were awful. Whenever you drove that truck, you could barely see. And I don't know how he saw, because he could barely see to begin with. So, it's just one of those things. We got to be careful. You know, there's things that we can do as drivers to make sure that we're being alert and making sure that we're not hitting people. But there's also the reverse side of it, too, where people who are walking on the side of the road, there's things you can do as well to make sure that, you know, you're putting the odds in your favor and our favor as drivers. So why don't you tell us about this T-bone in a tanker situation you found yourself in or somebody in?
Okay. I was hauling gasoline to doing station deliveries, and I was running out of Peru, Indiana, which is actually my hometown, but I was running across US 24, Business 24, which is just two lane. And running parallel to that is a set of railroad tracks. So I'm cruising down the road, got 9,000 gallons of gasoline on the truck. And I see this car come up over the railroad tracks and come to, and just like down the hill, and there's a stop sign. And I saw him come over those railroad tracks, and I thought, he's not going to make that stop. And there was no way for me to make that stop before he got there. So he hit the brakes, loose gravel there at the end, slid down. He nailed my drive tires. The front of his car, he was an old, late 80s Cavalier, Chevy Cavalier station wagon. He hit my drive tires. The front end of his car went underneath my trailer and knocked all of the drain valves loose. My equipment box was crushed, and my trailer tires went right over the hood of his car and sent him spinning around. Of course, with that much gas on the truck, I'm just waiting for the big boom.
Well, you got that right.
So I see him spinning around in my rearview mirror. I get pulled over, run back there, and I just waiting to find a dead man in that car. But he was safe. He was in his seatbelt. The car, the hood of the car and the fenders was just flattened, just crushed. But from the firewall back was fine. I mean, it didn't even crack the windshield.
Wow.
But
yeah, that's pretty
strong. Yeah, man.
Those Cavaliers were built pretty good back then, I guess.
Yeah, it's a pretty solid car. So I checked with him. He was fine. And we got the police out there and everything, did a report. And I think he got checked out by the paramedics. They came out, and they were actually going to let it go, because they asked me for the registration and everything for the truck and trailer. Well, I couldn't find the registration for the trailer. It was, you know, we kept it in one of those little round containers, but it was inside the equipment box. Well, when I went back there, I had pieces and stuff everywhere. I couldn't find that registration anywhere. So the cops were there like, well, you know, we can get you for no registration and, you know, him disregarding the stop sign. But since you can't find your registration, we're just going to level this out. Well, my boss had already made it there. And, you know, he knew where to look to get that registration. He's like, oh, no, that guy's getting a ticket. Ain't no way we're paying for this trailer damage and you know, having to transfer the fuel into another trailer and all of that. But, yeah, they ended up giving him a ticket for, you know, I don't know that he disregarded the stop sign, but he didn't make that stop. So, but, yeah, that scared me to death, man. I've had a couple instances like that. It's like, should you really go on being a driver?
Yeah, I'll tell you. And that's the thing I say this several times throughout the show so far, and I'm sure I'll say it on plenty of other episodes. It's like they're looking to get us. It drives me nuts. Like we had, I forget his name. Do you remember? I don't remember his name. We had a guy on the show that was a law enforcement officer in Utah. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, different things and all that. And I think I even asked him on that show about the idea is like, is there a quota or something? And I think he said no, but it feels like when there's something going on with the truck, it's like all eyes on the truck. What can we nab him for? And I don't know if it's because there's big money in it. Like if you, like, for instance, if there's a citation involved for a car and the same thing happened with the truck, it's like the truck is more expensive. Like it's a bigger fine. There's more fines to be had. If there's an incident involving a trailer and there's hazmat signs on that trailer, now we can inspect the trailer and see if he actually has it properly labeled. Does he have, you know what I mean? All that stuff. And it can equate to thousands of dollars in tickets. And so I just feel like whenever there's an incident, it's like they're looking at you, trying to find something to give you a ticket for because it's just big money.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it just seems to be that way. It's
God like bless our
never,
love.
They never stop.
God bless our law officers. I love you all. Seriously. I do. It's just, as a driver, you feel like sometimes the law enforcement is out to get you and ticket you out the wazoo when they get you, because it's just, if that's what it feels like. It just does. And when they pull you over for DOT, it's like, here we go. It's like I was in a brand new truck and trailer. I got pulled over for DOT. It's obvious it's brand new. It was shiny. Like I didn't even have 1,000 miles on the truck. And I still sat for about an hour for them to do a DOT inspection. And I'm just like, guys, it's brand new. All you got to do is see it's brand new. Look at my load. It's secure. Let me go. But it was like they were trying to find something to find me on. And it just things like that make you feel like they're out to get you.
Yeah, well, you know, I do have to say that I've had my share of newer trucks that have had some serious issues that didn't get caught somewhere.
That's true.
In inspection. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they've had pretty good luck with that. Just
maybe. You're absolutely right. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Honestly, that could be something true to that, because I can't tell you how many times I'm pulling my truck out in the morning off the dock. I wrap it around the building and I'll stop in the front of the building to go in and do paperwork or something. And I'll see one of our brand new trailers sitting at the shop getting worked on because, you know, the driver did his pre-trip and he saw something wrong with it. I can't tell you how many times that's happened. So maybe they know it too. You would think that, you know, a cop who's not a mechanic would think, oh, it's a brand new truck, brand new trailer. He's going to be fine. But yeah. It's just like, hey, listen, bottom line is I get paid by the hour. Like if it happens to my dad, he gets paid by the mile. But for me, I get paid by the hour. So if you're going to hold me for an hour, I'm still getting paid. It's just a pain in the butt, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. But, you know, I know they're out there doing a job trying to keep us safe and everything. But you're right.
Sure.
If there's an accident or something, it doesn't matter how much that car is at fault. They will pinpoint and they will go through that truck with a fine tooth comb. And if you shouldn't have been out there for some reason because of a violation or whatever, that whole accident's going to come right back on you.
Yeah. And like, I just want to be clear. This isn't a defund the police show. Like, I'm very much pro police. I love you. Please come and protect me when I need you to protect me. Like, this is not a defund the police thing. We love the police, right? I mean, none of us are saying that.
Exactly.
We could go.
I got a daughter-in-law that's a cop.
We'll save that for another episode where Tony just rants about how stupid the world is right now.
That show is called theconfessionals.com.
Hey, thanks for the plug, man. So, listen, Scott, I think we got through not even half of your list, and I think we're going to bring you back on for another time to talk more about these stories, because we are wrapping it up here. We're almost out of time, but I do appreciate you sharing the stories we have. And listen, I just want to give people a taste of what's going to come next time we bring Scott back on. 200 miles on 6 inches of ice. Okay, do I got to say more? 36 inches of a snowstorm in West Virginia. 1,200 mile drive after a twisted ankle. So what did I say? Did I say Scott? I meant Dave.
Yeah. That's all right.
Listen, this is turning into a crap show. So.
It was golden until right now.
Brian, you threw the man off.
I did. Exactly.
No, listen, I guess I just gave away his last name too. So that's, there's a reason why I called you Scott. So, and I just said it. So it is what it is.
Man. Well, now he's going to get fired. Nice job.
Nah, he ain't going to get fired. If you want us to, we can bleep it out. This is really turning into one of the worst endings I've ever had.
No, this is hilarious. This is actually one of the best endings we've ever had.
I agree.
My goodness. All right, Dave. All right, David. Listen, I do appreciate you coming on, and you had some really good stories here, but there's a lot of good stories to go through yet, and I think we need to bring you back on is what I'm trying to say. After the last 5 minutes of a cluster F, we're gonna wrap it up here with just saying, thanks for coming on the show. It was great, and we want to bring you back on if you'd like to come back on. Sound good?
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you having me. It's great.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, Dad, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share the show with a friend. Share the show with your wife, your husband. And share the show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Any of those platforms we're on. And we also have a Facebook page and a fan page. Take a look at that. Join the fan page. Join the conversation. And they can also go on HammerLaneLegends.com and look at the merch. Look at the merchandise. Buy something. And you can create a conversation around that with your friends.
Absolutely. All you got to do is go to HammerLaneLegends.com, hit the gear section, and you can support the show that way as well. It's a great way to advertise the show and support the show. Thank you very much in advance. And until next week, friends, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
I'm just sitting on your front porch, wondering how could I be so far from my home. And my mind is somewhere else, but when I find it, I'll patch up where it's been blown. Now I'm just floating on the breeze, and I feel I'm falling like these leaves. I must be cornerstone. Oh, but when I reach that ground, I'll share this peace of mind I found. I can feel it in my bones, but it's gonna take a little time for me to set that parking brake and let myself unwind. Shine that light on me. I'll sit and tell you. Train with a heavy load of my past. And these rails that I've been riding on, they're worn so thin that they're damn near gone. I guess now they just weren't built to last. Yeah, I'm gonna try to make sense of what I can, of where I'm going,
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And I'm really glad... and I'm really glad that you're here.
Yep, you are.
And I'm really glad. Forget about the man in the corner.
Don't worry about me.
Don't worry about the old man sitting over here. Just worry about moi. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am your host, Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And I got a burp.
That's an outtake.
Oh, I feel really tight in my chest.
The hot dogs, the relish, and the onions. They're coming back.
I felt that little bubble in my chest. I knew it was going to come. I knew it was going to come out sooner or later. I just burped in your ear.
Yes, you did. Gee, thanks. Brian Merkel.
That's my line. What? Know your role and shut your hole. Oh, man. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. Oh, crap. I was waiting for you to come in.
You forgot your name?
We can't.
Oh, my word.
We can't get 10 minutes, 10 seconds. I mean, I'm literally like waiting for you to say your name. And I forgot my name. What the heck? I can't believe this. Like, I've been doing this for how long and I just can't get it. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am a host of the show, Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
Me off. I know, but I don't like saying I am your host on this show.
All right, so I know what to expect this time.
You're a host too, and I'm hogging it by saying that I am your host. And I'll, by the way, I have my dad sitting over here. But habits are hard to kill, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to kill these habits. Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a wild and crazy experience that you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com. I'm sorry, I feel it right there.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.